The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen CPAs and Consultants. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
Here we are. It is Monday, and Jamie Gottes joins us from Christensen and Associates. And Jamie, good to see you again. And are you looking forward to maybe coming out of the deep freeze a little bit this week?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Good morning. It is quite the difference out there today versus the last couple weeks. So really kind of looking forward to the milder temperatures.
Yeah. But yet I imagine now at the office, you guys will be putting in even longer hours, you know, as they say, burning the midnight oil, so to speak.
Right. I think the tax team is in full force, and we have a lot of our service industries really going hard this time of year. A lot of work to be done in about a 3 or 4 month period.
Yeah. Well, I know you wanted to kind of just start off recapping a little bit about what we've talked about. It's been a couple of weeks now, but just refresh us a little bit. Now, I was going to ask you, too, and I'm sorry I didn't do that, but would you welcome a phone call if somebody would have a tax question today, or would you, if anybody would be brave enough to call in, I guess?
If they'd like to, I'd surely try and answer that if possible. Otherwise, I would probably guide them to our main office and talk to one of our tax experts if it's a detailed question.
Right, and we'll give Deb that number and that information certainly before the end of our discussion. But as far as recapping a little bit, what were some of the highlights you wanted to kind of reiterate here?
Yeah, I just wanted to, it's been a couple weeks since I've been out here, so for people who hadn't had a chance to listen to, you know, last show, we just want to recap a little bit since these deadlines are coming up fairly fast. Now, again, we're working really hard on this week and last weekend and even this following weekend. March 1st is a farmer deadline coming up, which we have a lot of ag clients at our firm. And so we're really trying to push them through, and there's been a little bit of a bottleneck here the last week, but that's not out of the norm. We have the staff. We believe we're adequately prepared for it, and we're going to get the job done. The goofy thing is, of course, the deadline's on a Monday, so, you know, we got one, not saying an extra weekend, but we got a weekend coming up to work on it, too. So besides the farmer deadline, again, you know, coming up, the normal April 15th deadline and stuff. Some people have started getting really excited about getting their personal stuff done, and some people really, you know, will push it off till the middle of April or right before the deadline again.
Is it determined whether they anticipate they're going to owe more taxes? That those aren't quite as anxious to get in and get their returns
right
completed?
That's what it seems to be. It seems to be the people that think they're going to owe quite a bit in taxes procrastinate and wait, hang on to their money as long as they can, which to a point you can't fault them for that, and that's where we see a lot of the extensions also.
Yes.
But just to know what the extensions, you still have to pay your tax due by April 15th. You just don't have to file for another 6 months.
Yeah. Are there a number of, besides that, maybe reasons why people would request an extension? You know, are there certain circumstances maybe that they just can't, you know, or would be more advantageous to fill it out at a later time? Or
Some of it is just maybe entity structure. Maybe they got some things going on in their business that they haven't quite finalized. But it's probably more detailed and very rare that you would probably have that special situation. Mm-hmm. Some of it's just reporting.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Other highlights that you wanted to discuss? Or
yeah, there was a couple that we kind of breezed over last time that I just want to bring up that we're kind of seeing now, you know, working on their first group of tax returns here, and even have some questions on the individual stuff. The federal stimulus money that you got in 2020 and January of 2021, potentially, your tax preparer needs to know those numbers. They need to know what you got the first round and what you got the second round. Now, it's tax-free to you, but again, we have to fill out a separate form to know what you're claiming for that. It's not going to affect you, but we need to know it. And most people are coming in not bringing that information in. So
okay,
it's a good thing to know. Bring that information, have it ready, because on the flip side, if you did not get a 2020 stimulus or a 2021 stimulus and you believe you are qualified for it, now here's where you have the recourse. You can claim that on your 2020 return and potentially get that credit to make you a whole like the rest of the qualified individuals.
Yeah, so it's for your own benefit, really. It's that, like you said, they're not going to be charged extra tax on that money.
Absolutely. So. It's just good to know. And again, if you can take advantage of that, some people, because of whether it was, you know, banking information that was wrong, whether it was addresses, you know, there was a lot of different reasons why people didn't get a stimulus in 2020. And so they're really trying to make everybody have that opportunity to get that stimulus.
You know, one more question that I have on that. We got the one in late 2020, and then it was for, I think, pretty much everybody after the turn of the calendar year, right, when that second payment came out. When you're filling it out then, I mean, is the second one going to go on next year's tax return then, or how is that going to work?
Correct. Now, the second stimulus, the one we got in January, so it is 2021, but they are retroacting that. You will include that on your 2020 return. And now if we get any kind of third stimulus payment coming up here in 2021, that will be dealt with on the current year.
Thanks for clarifying that. Maybe you already did that too, but I'm a little slow on the uptake sometimes.
Nope, it's all good.
Okay, and then what else do you have there, Jamie?
That was kind of it on the, I wanted to make sure we reiterated deadlines and kind of what we're seeing, you know, as far as documentation coming in to make sure the people that haven't brought their stuff to their tax preparer yet, you know, kind of get those things in order to have a good quality meeting with their tax preparer.
Is it wise to just call and get an appointment scheduled, or do you even schedule things online with people? How do they go about getting the process rolling, so to speak?
You know, we've done a little bit of both. This year we've got some exciting new software, and maybe it's just new to us, but a lot of electronic. We're able to have portals where our clients can email documents in or attach documents in a portal. We can go grab it. And then we're doing electronic returns this year. So we will send them an email with their electronic return or a login to get to their return. Mm-hmm. It keeps it for a number of years. So a lot of people, you know, maybe request copies of prior year stuff. So it's going to be more of a non-contact, but we are still taking appointments for sure. A lot of people like the face-to-face. Mm-hmm. We have done some Teams meetings, Zoom meetings, those kinds of things. It's just whatever the client is comfortable with. Our preparers have done a great job of adapting to in-person meetings or even just sending the information in.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, too, if you have that in person, you might think of something that you forgot, and then whatever something triggers that, and then you can discuss it, you know, kind of in detail right there with the preparer and...
Right, and I think it's some of it is just that that communication and that rapport you have with your clients. If it's been a long-term client and this is what you do, and you can really get a feel for what they're doing in their business, where they're at, and it might trigger that, oh, wait, you said, you know, you got this. Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, today you want to talk about the PPP two loan program, and where does that stand right now then, Jamie?
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about the PPP program, the Draw One, they're calling it now, that came out in 2020. They did reopen that. So there must have been some funds left. So on about the 11th of January, they reopened that through March. So if you did not apply for your first round or first draw of PPP, you can apply now to try and get that money that you were due or potentially due back in 2020. So along with that, then they came out with a PPP 2 program or second draw.
Okay.
Now that's going to be very similar to the first one. It's got a little bit more stringent, a little bit more qualifications to do that. And you're seeing that with all these programs now, even the stimulus. That's what they're arguing over now, right, is who qualifies for it. So the PPP 2 is again, SBA is accepting applications now through March 31st. And again, most borrowers, it's 2.5 times a monthly average of payroll in 19 or 20. And they did a little bit different on the accommodation and food service industries or sectors. The max loan amount is 3.5 times the monthly payroll. So again, both have a max of $2 million. So they're doing something a little different because they realized that the hospitality and restaurant industry did get hit pretty hard. So same,
and probably not coming back as fast as most would want. Even
Coming back near as fast with capacity limits and just people still being cautious of going out, those kinds of things. So still eligible for the same expenses, you know, payroll, mortgage interest, rent, utilities, and some COVID protection, PPE stuff.
Yeah. So now are these loans then that do have to be paid back, or is any of this, is it a combination of some grants, or how does that work really?
So the PPP loan draw one and the PPP two, the second draw, both of them are forgivable. Mm-hmm. So it's going to operate the same way. Now you had to have previously received the first, if you previously received draw one, then you have to have used that or will use it by the time you apply for your PPP two. And again, they did something with the employee count. I think it's down to no more than 300 employees now, and I think it was 500 the first round. And then you actually have to demonstrate a 25% greater reduction in gross receipts in comparable quarters in 19 and 20. So they're making it a little more fine-tuned to try and get those businesses that were really affected and let them apply for this second round. But it will be at the same time forgivable like the first round. Now, we haven't seen any, you know, instructions on that yet since it's so new, but we think it's going to be pretty similar to the first round. And the PPP 1 and 2 should be forgivable loans, they call them, but they're going to turn into grants, basically.
Yeah. Now, any limitations then? Do you have to retain your employees, a certain percentage of them, or is that one of the qualifications to get this money? Or?
That was for sure a qualification on the first loan. It didn't seem like it was enforced as much because they give you a real broad time frame to retain those employees. I didn't see a lot with the PPP too. It was more the reduction in revenue, the reduction in gross receipts, making sure that if you were falling on hard times in 2020, that you got compensated for it.
Yeah. And, you know, for some of the employees, too, maybe there were other opportunities and they just couldn't, you know, stay basically in the bullpen, so to speak, waiting for that call up. You know, they if there were other opportunities, they probably pursued those too.
Right. I think that was the hard thing, was getting some of those people back. So they did do some rules on the first draw, where if you tried to hire them back and they've already were employed with other places or just didn't want to come back, mm-hmm. That didn't count against you. Yeah. So it was really hard not to hit your employee threshold for the first round, and it should be about the same for the second round.
Yeah. Now, it looks like our next point here kind of relates a little bit to that with this employee retention tax credit then.
Right. Now, the employee retention tax credit, ERTC or ERC, I've seen it also, again, encourages businesses to keep their employees on their payroll. That's where it just encouraged them to try and fight through it, try and keep going. And if you did, you know, try and do that, it's going to give you a refundable tax credit for up to 50% of the first $10,000 in wages an employer has who had been financially impacted by COVID-19 in 2020. Now, there's a 2020 program that I'm going to talk about first, and then mm-hmm. they did renew it and extended it, but the 2021 has a little different rules. Yeah. Because, again, 2020 now, we're already obviously passed. All the payroll forms have been filed. All your 941s, 943s, those kinds of things have all been filed. You can go back and still get this credit if you qualify. You just have to fill out a 941X or a revised quarterly form. So it's not lost. It's still there. It's got some limitations to it, but again, if you were impacted and you had to shut down because of, you know, government shutting down like the restaurant industry or a few of those things, you can get this tax credit, and it's up to 5,000. So the max is 5,000 per employee per year. Mm-hmm. It was then extended for 2021, which, again, we realize or we see that this is not coming out of the coming out of the COVID situation as fast as we thought it would. Even restaurants being open, you know, 25% or 50% capacity, it's still taking some time. Even some retailers mm-hmm. are still seeing that. So in 2021 is extended through June of 21. So the first two quarters of 2021. So again, you have to qualify for that. It's a more than 20% reduction in gross receipts when comparing quarter 1, 21 to quarter 1, 19, or quarter 4, 20 to quarter 4, 19. So you're able to do some comparisons, and if you really reduced your gross receipts by more than 20%, now they bumped it up to a 70%, up to $10,000, so a max of $7,000 per employee. So again, seeing that they're still struggling out there, we go from 5,000 employee per year in 2020 to the 7,000 per employee per quarter in 2021.
Ah, that's per quarter.
So that was per quarter. Mm-hmm. So I believe that's going to impact quite a few people positively if they're still struggling with this. Now, again, it changed the employees from 100 to 500, and there's still some other rules. Now, you can't double dip on the funds. Now we're talking, if we talk PPP and ERTC, can't use those funds for the same expenses, but most people were able to use up that first PPP loan, and then they still probably had some losses or still had some issues. So now this ERTC will kick in and maybe can help them recoup that just a little bit more.
Yeah. You know, I can see, I'm not a business owner, but I could see where this could get, you know, pretty involved and kind of where it would make you really have to, you know, get your pencil out and really sharpen things up, because, like you say, when you're going to have this limited reopening, what would be the advantage then of, you know, maybe there's advantages to not even being open then. I mean, if you're going to be close to being that to that 20%, you know, and not qualify, I mean, I could see where, depending on what it is,
right,
you know, and maybe how it's established your business is or the type of business it is.
Correct. And you know, again, we talked a little bit about last time about the unemployment benefits.
Yes.
The unemployment benefits were so good for some people that they were making more on unemployment that they were actually working. Well, it was really hard to get that workforce to come back.
Yeah.
And so trying not to penalize the employers who are trying to do a, you know, a service or a business. And you hope the people on unemployment, you know, got it when they needed it, and hopefully that they can come off it when they can. And that's all you can do is hope that people make the yeah. right choice and stuff like
and
that.
And I think some of this is going to be determinant on schools also being back and having students in class, to where maybe parents can once again not have to be home taking care of their kids, because probably there wasn't a daycare place that would take them in. You know?
Right. So. There was a lot of that daycare issue or just issues in general with children and trying to find proper daycare, even just the remote learning. And
yes.
Not everybody is a qualified teacher, wanted to be or thought that they were going to be. But that just comes with parenting, I think.
Yeah.
And
just a little supervision, though, probably made a difference, too, for some of the students. You know, knowing somebody is kind of monitoring and seeing if they're,
right.
you know, paying attention during the distance learning, too.
Right.
Because I've heard from teachers, it varied quite a bit from student to student.
Right. And my kids now are a little bit older. They're out of school. And I couldn't imagine, you know, trying to be their teacher, be their parent, be all this in one. And I think my kids learned a lot better from someone else.
Yeah.
Because it just, you have that mentality of, okay, now I got to focus and I got to really pay attention to this person.
Good point, Jamie. Well, you have one other thing too here, right? Or have you completed pretty much your ERTC there?
Yeah, so. I think the ERTC, again, it does specify that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are doing payroll for their small businesses or individuals, you know, by themselves. And this, again, kind of reiterates the fact of we have a lot of payroll professionals at our firm and many, many other firms out there, you know, seek the help. If your business is getting bigger or if you really just have a lot of questions, boy, our payroll professionals are really valuable this time of year when these kinds of things come out and everybody scratches their head and goes, how do I do that? We're trying to stay ahead of it, trying to learn as much as we can so our clients benefit from that. So I'm going to give a little shout out to our payroll team for that.
Well, and I think, you know, too, everybody's always looking at, you know, trying to improve the bottom line. And that might be one way that, you know, you're letting things go by that maybe you should be taking advantage of. So
correct. It's all about, taking advantage of what you qualify for.
Yeah. Well, what about the EI? Is it EIDL? And what are those loans?
Yep. Now, the EIDL is a little different than the PPP or the ERTC ones. That is strictly a loan. EIDL, mm-hmm. Economic Injury Disaster Loan. Those loans are still open. Now, you can, again, the purpose was to meet financial obligations and operating expenses that could have been met had the disaster not occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it was to provide a little more a low cost or a low interest rate loan to some of those businesses that were struggling to maybe get them by till the economy started to reopen. You know, 3.75 interest rate on most businesses. You had to be 500 or fewer employees, and 2.75 for some nonprofits.
Oh.
So it was a 30-year terms, no repayment penalties. You know, the first year payment were deferred. So they did a lot of things to kind of make this available to a lot of people. Now it is a loan and needs to be repaid. But again, if you needed the loan and say your business did really great in 6 months or a year or 2 years, you can pay it back at any point in time and you're no worse for the wear. You paid a little bit of interest, but it got you by in the short term.
Yeah. And like you say, if things really pick up again, there's no penalty for paying this off, you know, so.
Correct. And then there was some, you know, up to $25,000, it was pretty much just they went off of the applications. Anything over $25,000, then they started getting into some collateral. You have to collateralize it and everything else. But again, maybe was really good for some businesses who could use that for working capital, normal operating expenses. Only thing, there was some caveats that it couldn't be used to pay off old debts, mm-hmm. refinance other debt, or buy capital assets. It was really just meant to keep those businesses moving, keep the doors open, keep the, you know, business going. And I cannot stress enough to make sure you keep all these funds separate. If you did try and qualify or qualified for a few of these programs, make sure you know what you exactly spent your money on, because it will be asked during whether it's a forgiveness process or whether it's just SBA reviews coming down the road. You know, that's going to come at some point in time.
Yeah. Well, I think you've covered a lot of ground today, but it's been very informative, Jamie. And if people are looking for a professional to, you know, engage with, as far whether it's tax preparation or just planning and things like this, that you guys, you know, you're a wide encompassing organization now.
Correct. A lot of service areas. If you got any questions on the tax side or any other accounting services side, sure, give us a call at the office at 235-5937. Facebook, website, you know, just reach out and we'll see what we can help you out.
And so then they'll direct you as to whatever, you know, professional that was going to be best suited to help you.
Correct. So we'll try and get your case and get your situation and try and get you to the best person, whether it's an individual or business, because we have a lot of professionals that specialize in each area.
Right. Well, and there's no time like the present to get on these things, you know, too, as far as especially with the taxes, because that if February is any indication, that to me now that went twice as fast as January, even though we had the cold weather.
Right. I think, for some odd reason, it has just flown by. And we're seeing that at the office. We're seeing a little stress levels go up, but I think we can handle it. But, yeah, I would stress get your appointments done early as you can and be patient with your tax preparer, any tax preparer. You realize they're under a really fine microscope this time of year, and they're doing their best to try and get things done.
Yeah. Great to see you, Jamie. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Bill.